Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. We'll back up a few verses, but we'll start at verse 5, Ephesians 4 and 5. Sam, you got a Bible with you? Yeah, find Matthew 27, 52 and 53. Ephesians 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Man, that's good, ain't it? Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. You can go ahead and be seated. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We talked about unity in the church, and we talked about a worldwide body of Christ. There's not just a few people back in the woods in this one church that just has the only doctrine. That's not how this works. Amen. People don't have to come from South America to Southern West Virginia to that one church to be saved. God's bigger than that. So we talked about the unity of the body. I read a story about a preacher who was invited to speak at this conference, and they wrote him a letter, and he said, "That's very interesting that they asked me to come. I think I'll go." So he wrote a letter back, and he accepted the invitation. And a few weeks later, he got a letter from the leaders of the conference, and they said, "Hey, we just want to let you know that we're going to have to retract our invitation. Some of the ministers of the conference found out that you believed in the gifts of the spirits, of the Spirit, and they're afraid that you're going to influence people in our conference, so we're asking you not to come." That's crazy, ain't it? So he didn't go because he believed in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I wonder where he got that idea. I would say he got the idea of the gifts of the Spirit from the Bible, wouldn't you? And it's amazing how people can be so narrow that, and then what's amazing is they must not have their doctrine settled in their people if they was afraid this guy would come and preach one sermon and influence them. Amen. Scripture is extremely important, and we ought to know our scripture. So he says, wherefore, and this ascended and descended. I want to read it slow so we get it. He said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God gives the gifts. How does he give the gift? He tells us. But unto everyone, the verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God gives the gifts. How does he give the gifts? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what kind of measure was the gift of Christ? When you try to measure the gift that God gave us when he gave us his son, how do you measure that? How do you measure the gift of Christ? How do you quantify that? How do you put that into numbers? I mean, how much does Jesus really mean to you? Well, a whole lot. Well, what's a whole lot? It should be absolutely everything, right? Because he's above all, through all, and in us all, right? So when we read this, and we got to take it all in context, because context is extremely important. Because you can make the Bible say a lot of things by just taking one scripture out of context and using it as a staple. But he's driving home a point. But then he says, he that ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's a very interesting scripture. And you may not know this, but it's also a very controversial scripture. Some people will argue of whether Jesus actually went to hell or not. When it says he descended to the lower parts of the earth, they're talking about ascending from heaven down here, and that's the way it went. But I want to show you something that is extremely powerful in these scriptures. I'm going to try to teach it. I'm probably going to wind up preaching it, and we might just shout the rest of the evening. And I might be off, and I might not portray it right, and you might leave here wondering what I was trying to say. But here we go. He ascended. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? I want to take you, if you can, I apologize, Shane, because I didn't have these ready. I had them ready, but I forgot to send them. Acts 2 and verse 22. Acts 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. All right, they came to Jesus and they was looking for a sign. And what did Jesus say? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign. But he said, I'm going to show you something. He said, I'm going to give you a sign. And this was the sign that he gave. They were looking for some great sign. And he said, here's the sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of the Man be in that place for 3 days and three nights, right? So he likened his death to the prophet Jonah. Brother Eddie, I think I got this right. It's the only prophet that Jesus likened himself to in the New Testament. So there's something to these 3 days. Josh, I don't know. Maybe God led you to sing those songs today because I was like, man, this is Easter. These are Easter songs. But, man, they're lining right up with Ephesians and what we're going to talk about. And this is good. All right, let's go on. Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Do you notice the correlation here? He's saying, this was the plan of God, and you were part of it through your wicked hands. So we understand that God had this plan. So before there was ever a question, God already had the answer. Before Adam ever sinned, God already had the cure for sin in place before Adam was ever put in the garden. Man, that ought to make you feel good for this fact. Whatever you're going to go through in your life, God already has a plan to get you out of what you're going to go through. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings your way. God's already made a way that you can escape. Amen. Let me say it like this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say the weapon won't be formed. It says the weapon will not prosper. The enemy sees something in you, and he sees something in you that's worth trying to stop. So he will form the weapon. But the God we serve has already made the promise that the weapon will not prosper. What that means to me is this. God already has a way out before the weapon is already formed. He's already made a way that I can escape. So why do we get so tore up? Because we forget. So we come to church on Wednesday night, and I'm here to remind you, and you're going to do better. We're all going to do better because we got to remember who our Savior is. Not just our Savior, our justifier, our anointing, our bread, our water, whatever we need, that's what Jesus is. But more importantly than all of that, he's our Father, and he adopted us into his family. And I pray this so many times, God, we give it to you because you know how to care for what belongs to you. He said, those that the Father hath put in my hand, I've not lost one of them. Man, that's something to shout about. He said, I ain't lost one of them. Man, I'm glad I'm not him. I lose everything. Him being delivered by the next verse. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was. I'll say that with authority. It wasn't possible. it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Why? The plan of God was already in place. So death could not hold him. It wasn't possible for death to hold him. Why? Because God's plan was taking place. And when God says it's going to happen, I promise you this, it's going to happen. You don't have to worry. If God put it down, you can write it down, take it to the bank, and sleep on it, because God is not a man that he should lie. Keep teaching, preach. I'm not sure what's going on. Let's go. Whom God raised up. He raised him up. Because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Next verse. For David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. The only way we cannot be moved is we must understand where he is. He said, he was before my face, for he is on my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Sometimes you need to stand flat on your feet, look the devil straight in the eye, and say, I got my foot on the rock, and my mind is made up, and I won't be moved. Why? I know where he's at. You know why we get shaken? We forget he's the right hand. When we talk about right hand, what are we talking about? We're talking about power. If God is our power, if God be for us, who can be against us? If I got God on my side, it doesn't matter. If I make my bed in hell, it doesn't matter. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it does not matter. I will not be moved because he's my right hand. Next verse. Therefore, oh man, this is so good. You've read this, but you didn't read it slow enough. He said, therefore, did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. You know why I want to ask for testimonies tonight? Because when your heart rejoices, let it out. When did we get worried about becoming socially awkward and not telling people? I was talking to her earlier and I said, do you want to testify? She said, I'll blabber. I said, I do too. Come on, I mix up my words all the time, don't I? I talk too fast sometimes. I say things and Tracy shakes her head when I say them sometimes. Amen? Amen. But you know what? My heart is rejoicing. It's rejoicing because death couldn't hold him. It's rejoicing because he's the power of my right hand. It's rejoicing because there ain't no devil in hell can overcome a child of God that knows who he is. I'm rejoicing because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm rejoicing because I was blind, but now I see. I'm rejoicing because the same God that saved me is still saving. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the, amen. If you don't know that song, you're too young. They used to sing it on Little House on the Prairie all the time. Watch these verses. My heart did rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Man, you know what's really hard to get to rest in a trial is our flesh. You know why? Because when you're in trouble, you know what your flesh is looking out for? Flesh. It's looking out for itself. But notice what his flesh is resting in. Hope. Hope of what? Hope in what? Hope through what? His hope is in the one who resurrected. His hope is in he's his right hand. His hope is in the fact of I may be in this trial now, but this didn't come to stay. It came to pass. You may be in a trial right now. Well, I'm here to tell you the same God that allowed you to get in that trial is the same God that'll lead you out of that trial. Rest in that hope. He is my hope. It's in my sermon. Keep going. Because that thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. How many people in here have ever wondered what happens when you die? We've all kind of wondered, ain't we? Man, I wonder what happens. I wonder how it goes down. I wonder if I'm instantly translated. Am I instantly in heaven? Do I got to wait around a little while? What do I got to do? The Bible talks about a resurrection. Jesus knew about the resurrection, and he came to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he said, your brother will live again. They said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he will in the resurrection, right? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He was saying, the resurrection is not an event. It's me. Let me say it like this. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Jesus wasn't waiting on the event of the resurrection. He was the resurrection. The resurrection became the resurrection because he resurrected. Yeah. He said, I'm the resurrection. That means wherever he is, there's life. He said, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. There is no other religion in the world that can boast this. My king will never die. My savior will never die. He already did, and he got up, and he'll never die again. I rest in that hope. But the writer of Acts here is making this psalm messianic. He's taking this psalm that the psalmist wrote about his situation, and he's applying it to the Messiah. Do you see that? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. So I want to tell you something. These people that say that when Jesus descended to the lower parts of the earth, it's not talking about hell. You got to explain to me what this is talking about then. Because if he never went to hell and he makes this messianic, then how would he say, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell? He's not talking about his body. He's talking about his soul.
I better not say it, but I want to learn really, really bad to start backing myself up on the keyboard.
Bump, bump, man, I feel that right now. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Y'all with me? Are you interested? Back to Ephesians 4. See, let me tell you something about the Bible. It all ties together. You know what it's about? One subject. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm not adding to Scripture. One subject. There's one subject in this whole Bible. And his name is? You can find him in Genesis. You can find him in Exodus. You can find him in Leviticus. You can find him in Numbers. You can find him in Deuteronomy. You can find him from the beginning to the end. It's all about one, and his name is Jesus. These threads run all through Scripture. It's why I'm a Christian. You know why I'm a Christian? Because no man could have wrote this book. This thing was written under the inspiration of God, because if you pull a thread in Genesis, it'll pucker over in Revelation. It runs all the way through.
Oh, glory. He said, you're not going to leave my soul in hell. You're not going to leave me there. That means he had to go there. Why did Jesus have to die? Let me tell you what happened. Once they crucified him, once he that knew no sin became sin, he had to die. Are you hearing me? People say, well, at any moment, he could have called down 12 legions of angels. There came a moment that he couldn't because he became sin. He didn't sin, he became sin. You know what that means? He became every issue we have ever faced, and he overcame it. So he died. He gave up the ghost and died. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. I don't have time to go through all the doctrine on that, but man, this is good stuff. All right, so watch this. He says, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What is that talking about? He led captivity captive. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. The anointing of the Lord God is upon me to preach good tidings. Anybody know the verse? To what? What was it? What was it? To bind up the brokenhearted. To do what? To preach, to proclaim liberty to them that are bound, the opening of the prison. He was going to preach that. He was anointed to preach that. Well, the Bible says that he descended and he led captivity captive. All right, let me give you some doctrine here real fast. Y'all ready? Everybody ready for this? If I got this right, and if I don't, somebody tell me, but I think I do. I'm pretty sure I do, or I wouldn't be telling you. When I read about the rich man and Lazarus, I read about hell is divided into two places. Right? Are you with me? The grave, hell, Hades, is divided into two compartments. Do y'all see the compartments? Because Lazarus is where? He's in the bosom of Abraham, right? So he's in one compartment. You agree with that? And the rich man is over in the other section. And he says, hey, is there any way that Lazarus could dip his finger in water and cool my parching tongue? Is there any way? And the answer comes back, oh, when you were living, you had it made. I'm paraphrasing. You were blessed, and Lazarus suffered. But now, let me tell you this. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Do we have any rich people in here? Don't raise your hand if you are. Because the rest of us are going to mug you. How many here have ever worked for your money and worked for your money now? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you work for your money. Work for your money. Working people. That means we're poor because we work for our money. When you're rich, you got enough money that it works for you. So you good, right? Okay. All right. You're in trouble. The Bible says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I'm so glad that verse is in the Bible. Because if I didn't know that verse was in the Bible, I would watch these TV preachers and feel like I was outside the will of God because I had to work for my money and nobody's gave me a Rolex, a Bentley, or a mansion on the hill yet. Because if you're saved, that's what happens. But it hasn't happened to me yet. But when I read in the Bible, hearken, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I may be poor, but I tell you what I got. I'm rich in faith. So if you're poor, say hallelujah. And he said he knew. He just knew. When Peter and John went up there and they said,
Silver and gold have I none. He knew. He just knew they were preachers. Silver and gold have I none. Listen, rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom is what he said. He said, you had it made. And he said, and besides, even if we wanted to, there's a problem because there's a gulf between you and us that can't be crossed. Who are these people on this side of the gulf? Who are these people? Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Look it up. Study it out. It's a holding place. Man, this is good. Because when I read Hebrews, I read about a bunch of people in the Old Testament that believed God. They believed God, and just like Abraham, he counted them for righteous. The problem was, Courtney, is when they sacrificed with the blood of bulls and goats. And the problem with that is it was only temporary. Christy, it couldn't wash their sins away. It just covered them for a time. Well, here's the problem. Once you die, you can't sacrifice anymore. If you read Hebrews, the Bible says it like this. They died waiting on the promise. They died waiting on the promise. He that ascended on high, when he ascended upon, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Take it next verse, Shane. We got to do this. Now, he's going to explain this. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. Where did he go? He went to hell. You can't convince me that this ain't in the Bible because I'm reading it to you right now. Verse 10, he descends to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might feel all things. So Jesus goes down into the grave. And he preaches to those that were waiting on the promise. They died waiting on the promise. Well, that day, the promise showed up where they were at. And all those years they had waited, he showed up. Oh, man. Ooh, glory. Ain't you excited when Jesus shows up? If you're still not convinced, you got your verses. If you're still not convinced that this is what happened, watch this verse. This verse doesn't get enough credit in Scripture. Read it. 52. Oh, come on. Read it like you mean it. Yeah, stand up.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
Whoa. Did you hear that? We breeze through that. We don't pay attention to that. Say it again.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
Really? Listen, people, that would be a crazy day. You're living in Jerusalem, all of a sudden, graves popping open, people walking around. Yeah. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Well, how'd you get loose? I'm glad you asked.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad.
What do you mean, Do you realize how powerful that is? Jesus went down to where they were, and because he went to where they were, they came out when he came out. You know what I see in this? I see me when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. He came to where I was, and I got up because he got up. Oh, yeah. I know it's Wednesday, but we can have church anyway. Can you picture this? Man, you look like pictures that I've seen of Abraham. It is I. It's me. How'd you get out? The promise came. The promise came to where we were. The promise came. You see, oh, you got to hear me. You see, the promise came. I've been waiting on the promise. I didn't know exactly what he would look like, but I knew when he showed up who he was, because there ain't nobody able to come through what he came through. See, here's the glory of it all. A lot of people could get in there. Can you imagine? Well, here's another one. I just wonder. This is me wondering. Every time somebody showed up, they're like, is this him? Is this him? Is this him? And then once he got in there, what if he gets trapped like the rest of us are trapped? The psalmist said, I won't leave you there. I'm not going to leave you there. As a matter of fact, when you leave, you're going to leave captivity captive. You know what you're going to do? You're going to open up the prison doors. You're going to set the captive free. And just to prove it, they all busted out of their grave and started walking around and appearing to people. Now, you know what you ought to do? Jesus came to where you were. You ought to bust out of your grave and start appearing to people. They're going to look at you and say, if they knew you before, they're going to say, man, you look like Johnny, but you don't act like Johnny. Oh, yeah, you don't know where I've been. He came to me. I was trapped, but he set me free. I was bound, but he liberated me. I'm appearing today totally different because I waited on the promise, and the promise found me. Yeah. Come on, musicians, I'm done. Dave, we can't just read these verses and just, well, I got my nightly reading in. That's my problem with reading the whole Bible through. I know a guy that I listen to him preach. He reads the Bible through once a month. Once a month. If you want to know how to do it, he said, read 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night, and you'll get through the whole Bible in a month. He reads it 12 times a year. I don't read like I talk. I mean, if I'm reading some stuff that I don't really care about, I do. But when I read scripture, I can't read fast. Because I find something, I say, whoa, 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 what's that mean? That means something. And then I'm over here, cross-referencing, running over here, looking up words, trying to find out where it goes. Next thing I know, I'm starting in Genesis, I'm over here, and Obadiah running around. You know why? Because it's the same word. Oh, let me say it again. It's the same word. It's the same Savior. The same one that prophesied that he was going to bruise his neck is the same one that's coming back in like manner. Same one. Okay, I got to quit. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4 is going to be a lot of fun. Because he's telling us some awesome stuff that came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. I heard a preacher, Joyce Meyer, had preached this. Not like me. And this guy had commented on the sermon and said, that's heresy. Jesus never went to hell. For the first time in my life, I felt like defending Joyce Meyer. Huh. like, buddy, do you read the Bible? Do you know how awesome a revelation this is? And you know why I can rest? Because the Bible says, if I make my bed in hell, what's the rest of the verse? What is it? You're there. No. Get this. You think hell scares Jesus? Do you think the devil rattles him at all? I mean, picture this. You're in hell, and you pull out your bed, and everything in there wants to devour you. You're not picturing. I'm going to find somebody that's picturing it. Okay, some people are smiling. I'm not sure it's because you think I'm funny or you're getting it. All these demons and all the imps of hell are wanting to devour you, and you're like, good night, boys. How can you sleep at a time like this? Because he's with me. Because he's with me. I don't care what you're going through. He's bigger than what you're going through. I don't care how high your mountain is. He'll climb it. I don't care how deep your valley is. He'll get to you. I don't care how far you go astray. He'll go get you because he's the good shepherd and he ain't afraid of where you are. That's what those scriptures mean. Come on, what are we singing? Just keep the theme going. You had it rolling today.